Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of August 25th. The U.S. military-industrial complex is flying high as American corporations line up at the trough for lucrative government contracts to increase domestic surveillance. Funded by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, projects to monitor people's movements and identities are coming under fire from civil liberties advocates. But they're a boon for American defense contractors and technology companies, who will be profiting from the expanded capabilities of Big Brother. Companies are designing and perfecting new products in hopes of winning a role in the Department of Homeland Security's efforts to tighten security at U.S. borders by installing a computerized entry-exit system to collect fingerprints and photographs and run background checks on foreign visitors. Congress first voted to set up an entry-exit tracking system in 1996, but business groups at the time were able to delay implementation of the program by raising concerns that it would hinder commerce. The attacks of September 11, 2001 muted such objections. Last April, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge announced the launch of the U.S. Visitor and Immigrant Status Indicator Technology, or U.S. Visit Program, an expansion of the National Secure Entry-Exit Registration System, or NSEERS, under the Directorate of Border and Transportation Security, the new office that brought customs, immigration, and transportation security under one umbrella. U.S. Visit's giant database and information network would record arrivals and departures at every U.S. port of entry, including more than 300 international sea, land, and air crossings. U.S. Visit would collect information including individuals' arrival and departure dates, nationality, immigrant status, full name, citizenship, sex, passport number and issuing country, country of residence, complete address while in the U.S., U.S. visa number, date, and place of issuance. The program will phase out NSEERS, a pilot project initiated after September 11, 2001, that requires all males over the age of 17 from 33 Middle Eastern, African, and Asian countries to be interviewed, photographed, and fingerprinted by immigration officers or face deportation. U.S. Visit will expand this procedure to apply to visitors from all countries. In order to track the more than 225 million visitors entering the U.S. each year, U.S. Visit will incorporate biometric identifiers at all ports of entry by 2005. Biometrics uses digital technology to verify an individual's identity by examining a unique physiological trait or behavioral characteristic such as fingerprints, DNA, voice, eyes, or facial structure, and comparing it to stored information. By January 1st of next year, visitors flying into a major international airport or arriving at seaports in the U.S. will have their travel documents scanned, their photograph and fingerprints taken, and attached to visas. Visitors will then be checked against a database containing lists of people who can be denied entry to the U.S., whether for immigration infractions, previous criminal charges, or connections to suspected terrorist groups. Officials have yet to announce what categories of visitors will be included in this first phase of U.S. Visit. Visitors from Canada, which leads all countries in the greatest number of visitors to the U.S. with 13 million travelers crossing the border last year, will not be subject to the program because the Canadian government has been actively collaborating with the Department of Homeland Security to share information on travelers entering the U.S. from Canada. Jim Williams, director of U.S. Visit, acknowledges that the program's scope is huge. Asa Hutchinson, Secretary for Border and Transportation Security, has said that he wants the information gathered by U.S. Visit to be shared with domestic law enforcement agencies, including local police. The U.S. budget allocated more than $425 million for the program this year. U.S. Visit's price tag is expected to amount to $2 billion or more over the next several years. The Department of Homeland Security has already awarded a five-year, $60 million contract for U.S. Visit program management support to PEC Solutions, a major government contractor that has provided information systems support to the Department of Defense and the Drug Enforcement Agency. This company will provide support for the procurement process for U.S. Visit. The project's prime contractor will be announced next May. Several hundred contractors are lining up for a piece of the U.S. Visit pie, as was suggested by the standing room only crowd at a U.S. Visit industry conference held last month in Arlington, Virginia. Among the technologies that potential contractors hope U.S. Visit will incorporate are Crossmatch Technologies' portable fingerprint scanner to instantly capture and share fingerprints, Imaging Automation's document verifier to ensure that passports, visas, and driver's licenses are genuine, Security Identification Systems' tracking system for verifying passengers as they leave and reboard cruise ships at ports of call, and Kipper Technologies' retinal scanners. While these smaller companies may receive a fraction of U.S. Visit funds, only a handful of major U.S. defense contractors are considered large and established enough to be awarded the status of prime contractor, such as Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman. While the Department of Homeland Security is set to shell out cash for biometric surveillance at U.S. borders, the U.S. Department of Defense is planning to issue contracts for advanced video surveillance networks that could be used to track people's movements within those borders. Combat Zones That See, or CTS, is a $12 million three-year program being developed by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, the same agency behind the notoriously invasive Total Information Awareness Program and the stock market for terrorism known as the Policy Analysis Market. CTS would coordinate surveillance cameras, gathering their views into a single database and highlighting unusual information in order to track anything that moves. Pentagon officials swear that the technology is for use on foreign battlefields, but critics warn that the components could easily be adapted to domestic surveillance. Currently, surveillance cameras are in use in every major American city. They record so much information that it is virtually impossible to compare and analyze their views to track changes. Many of these cameras record over their videotapes regularly, and officers who have to monitor the cameras struggle with boredom and loss of attention. CTS hopes to automate the monitoring and analysis performed by surveillance cameras and security officers so that the images captured by surveillance cameras can be used to pinpoint unusual events and uncover links between places, objects, and times of activity. By 2005, CTS aspires to build the world's first multi-camera surveillance system using automatic analysis of live video to study vehicle movements and other events across a large area. CTS would keep watch by equipping each camera with a computer processor, programmed into video understanding algorithms that can distinguish one object from another, and by networking cameras together to track the movements of targeted vehicles and people. The technology for networking surveillance cameras to share information over a wide area is still in development, but a rudimentary version of CTS will be demonstrated at a U.S. military base in Virginia as early as next summer. The pilot program will use CTS technology to track the movement of cars on the base. At different checkpoints on the base, cars' speeds, times of arrival, color, size, license plates, and shape will be automatically passed on to a central server, where the information can be compared with a database of vehicles earmarked by security officials. If all appears normal, the cameras might only send basic information and the occasional low-res image to each other. But when something unusual happens, images could become more detailed and frequent. The following year, CTS should move on to a testing in an urban combat setting, where information will be gathered from 100 mobile sensors containing dozens of tiny cameras. There are a number of different military contractors working on CTS technology, each of whom could have a chance at DARPA's $12 million development contract to be awarded this week. Representatives from dozens of defense and technology companies showed up to hear DARPA officials outline CTS project goals last March, including executives from Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Global Infotech, General Dynamics, BAE Systems, AlphaTech, Northrop Grumman, and Sarnoff Corporation. Software developer AlphaTech has developed a CTS simulation using surveillance cameras to track a car over a 10-kilometer area. Prototype software from Northrop Grumman and the Sarnoff Corporation would interrupt the gray monotony of surveillance footage with flashing red boxes to warn authorities of suspect behavior. The Sarnoff Corporation's video flashlight would morph different cameras' views into a single three-dimensional model. A security officer could then use a joystick to maneuver through the simulation, tracking vehicles and individuals in real time as though playing a game on Xbox. Spokesmen for both Sarnoff and Northrop Grumman assert that the primary application of their CTS technology is for domestic security. Nonetheless, DARPA denies that CTS would be used to track vehicles and individuals within the U.S., though one DARPA official has admitted that there is a chance the technology might find its way into domestic surveillance programs. Right to privacy advocates, who have already fought against the use of biometric facial recognition technology at the Super Bowl and against the use of surveillance cameras, are concerned about the potential impact of CTS technology if it is applied to civilians by commercial or government agencies outside the Pentagon. Other critics have different concerns with the focus on domestic surveillance at the Department of Homeland Security and DARPA. Over the past 2 years, billions of dollars have been spent by the Bush administration to monitor the movement of people in the U.S., to collect individuals' personal details, and to share information between local police and the Pentagon. Meanwhile, crucial infrastructure for emergency responses has been neglected. The U.S. government has dramatically increased its surveillance capacity, created huge interconnected databases of suspected terrorists, and launched a program to monitor airport and shipping passengers. But the same government has been very reluctant to give money to communities for dealing with actual emergencies. Over the last 2 years, the Federal Homeland Security Department awarded more than $4 billion to communities for domestic security. None of this was made available, for instance, for installing backup generators at Cleveland's water plants. When blackouts struck that region 2 weeks ago, the city was left without clean water for 15 hours. Other cities face critical staffing shortages and facility maintenance problems among local utilities, firefighting, medical, and law enforcement services. Yet, no federal funding has been made available for dealing with these crises. Instead, billions of taxpayer dollars are are used to pay corporations for keeping tabs on the public at large. Consider that the defense sector is composed of companies that reach far beyond what most ethical funds consider to be weapons manufacturing. And check to make sure that your investments aren't paying for Big Brother to take your picture. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.